This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
8 1/2 after 6 on this Thursday morning from FM 106. Time now for part 1 of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn finished up a quarter to 371.5. July corn was at 381, also up a quarter cent. And September corn finished at 388, up a half cent. Soybeans for March finished up 2 cents to 906. July soybeans also finished up 2 cents to 919.5. And August soybeans were at 926, up 2.25. Chicago wheat for May was up 8.25 cents to 464.75. July wheat was at 470, up 7.25 cents, and September wheat was up 7 cents to 478.25. Soybean meal for May was up 80 cents to 311.60. July bean meal was up 90 cents to 315.20, and August bean meal was up 70 cents to 316.60. Finally, soybean oil for May was up 3 cents to 29.27. July bean oil was up 4 cents to 29.60, and August bean oil was up 6 cents to 29.75. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Wednesday afternoon. Weather is a concern, and will there be enough of a weather delay to impact U.S. acreage. In northern West Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly steady at 327 to 350. Soybean bids were mixed at 826 to 866. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 334 to 354. Soybean bids were steady to 2 cents higher at 838 to 867. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 to 4 cents lower at 330 to 362. Soybean bids were mixed at 852 to 875. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 2 cents higher at 868 to 886. Basis was steady at 38 under to 20 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 287.60 to 301.60, up 80 cents a ton, with basis unchanged at 24 under to 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were steady at 353 to 366, with basis steady at 19 under to 6 under the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted difference of corn bids steady to down 2 cents at 352 to 360, with basis unchanged to down 2 at 20 under to 12 under the May. Soybeans ended down 1 to 6 cents at 857 to 871, with basis down 3 to 8 at 49 under to 35 under the May. New crop wheat prices were up 7 cents at 440 to 468, with basis steady at 30 under to 2 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevator placed their producer corn bids mixed at 375 to 376. These elevators raised their soybean prices 2 cents, quotations at 889 to 890. Soft wheat closed up 8 cents at 892 to 893. Milo ended the day up a penny at 406 to 407. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 339 to 366. Soybeans at 854 to 885. In the central part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 351 to 367, soybeans at 877 to $9. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 336 to 371, soybeans at 867 to 898, and June-July wheat at 445 to 470. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for April were up 45 cents to 129.57. June live cattle were up 65 cents to 123.37. And August live cattle were at 119.32, up 60 cents. Feeder cattle for March were steady at 142.25. April feeders were up 52 cents to 148.32. And May feeders finished up $1.60 to $152.12. Finally, lean hogs continue to rise as April hogs were up $3 to $73.82. May lean hogs were also up $3 to $82.15. And June lean hogs were also up $3 to $90.25. And now we'll turn it over to the Illinois and U.S. Departments of Agriculture for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $2.79 higher in a range of $54 to $64 with the weighted average carcass price of $60.38. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are steady with light to moderate demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 28 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds at 31 to 36, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 39, over 600 pounds at 38 to 43. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts and buying points were $4 higher, with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from 35 to 42. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts totaled 22,971. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $125.50 and on a dress basis traded at $205. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 274.98 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $74.05, which was 9 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $228.67, which was 66 cents lower, with select carcasses at $218.63, which was 83 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 120,000 compared to 109,000 for last week and 118,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 479,000 compared to 452,000 for last week and 454,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show. It is 6:15 on this Thursday morning. Part two of the Morning Ag Show is next. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. Floodwaters continue to flow down the Missouri River Basin, and flooding could be the norm for weeks to come. The National Weather Service warns snowmelt that runs into the river below the Gavins Point Dam will begin this weekend and peak at the beginning of April. Officials suggest the snowmelt will be more than currently forecasted. The levee protection system, already damaged from the current flooding, leaves thousands of acres of farmland now unprotected. That means much of farmland may be unusable for 2019. Even as water levels recede, the water table and infield damages and little levee protection provides a grim outlook for growing crops in those areas. For now, Kevin Lowe of the National Weather Service Missouri River Basin Forecast Center says the river is beginning to crest in areas of northwest Missouri and northeast Kansas.
We currently have major level flooding or major level flooding forecast for the reach from Nebraska City to Atchison. Nebraska City is now past crest, and the discharge crest is probably in the Rulo reach. The crest is expected at St. Joseph and Atchison on Thursday and at Kansas City this Friday.
At Rulo, Nebraska, the river reached a record crest, surpassing the record level set during the historic flooding of 1993. Rainfall expected in Missouri this weekend won't impact the areas currently flooded, but will increase river levels downstream from Kansas City to St. Louis.
Widespread 1/2 to 1 inch amounts this coming weekend over the state of Missouri. This will likely add to the crest in the lower 200 miles of the Missouri from Glasgow to the mouth. It will not add to the crest through the Kansas City Waverly Reach.
Numerous levees are breached north of Kansas City throughout the basin to Omaha, Nebraska, with more breaching reported daily. Those levee breaches, according to Lowe, makes forecasting a challenge.
The levee compromises presents a unique challenge in attempting to come up with a precise crest, especially in the Brownville to St. Joe reach.
Lowe says for the fourth state area of Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska, more flooding is a likelihood as the snowmelt begins and peaks next month, the same area that faced prolonged flooding in 2011.
We do still call for snowmelt in the Big Sioux and James River basins to commence this weekend. Without any additional rainfall, this expected snowmelt that will start this coming weekend will result in renewed flooding in the Nebraska City to St. Joseph Reach.
The Corps of Engineers previously reported snowmelt above the reservoir system as 112% of normal, but now expect to revise that forecast to include more runoff. The Army Corps of Engineers maintains that there is adequate storage in reservoirs that are upstream from the Gavin's Point Dam. Legislation introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives would give an economic boost to youth in agriculture. Chad Smith has more from Washington.
The Student Agriculture Protection Act of 2019, supported by the American Farm Bureau Federation, would create a tax exemption for the first $5,000 of income students earn from projects completed through 4-H or FFA. Pat Wolf, AFBF Senior Director of Congressional Relations, says the bill would allow students to focus on their education and their projects.
The reason for the legislation is to allow student agriculturalists to keep more of the money they earn from their 4-H and FFA projects. That would give them more money to put toward their education and to other projects.
Wolf says it's important to encourage young people to seek careers in agriculture.
The future of agriculture depends on young people choosing agriculture as a career choice. Some students may decide to be farmers. Others may work in industries that support farmers. But if there isn't a supply of bright and hardworking students moving into agriculture, our industry will continue to age and its future will be uncertain.
She says farmers and ranchers can show their support for the bill by contacting their legislators.
Farmers and ranchers who want to support the idea of allowing student agriculturalists to keep more of the money they earn from their projects should contact their member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 1770.
Chad Smith, Washington.
In state ag news, Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos expresses her concern over President Trump's budget proposal. She says local farmers would be really hurt under the plan.
The president and his budget just calls for cutting $26 billion out of crop insurance, where we are in the middle of a trade war that has been instituted by this administration without consent of Congress. And that I know our family farmers are hurting. Their income is down by half right now. The number of bankruptcies is at a decade-long high, and that we've got to address this. And I think the one piece of good news that I was pleased with President Trump announcing is that E15, year-round E15, is something that we are working to implement, and I'm pleased with that because that will help our corn growers, and and from a biofuels perspective as well, our soybean growers, and so I think that's the one bit of good news that I can share right now. But we've got a lot of work to do and make sure that President Trump, who comes from New York City, understands farm country, and that right now we're hurting, and we need somebody on our side out of the White House, not somebody who's going to do things like cut crop insurance at a time where we need to make sure we our safety net is as strong as ever.
Bustos says despite a recent high-profile appointment to the powerful House Appropriations Committee, she decided to remain as a member of the House Ag Committee with the intention of keeping a close eye on farm policy. With the spring thaw upon us, it's time to be thinking about our local country roads and the farmers who will soon be occupying them. In a portion of my conversation from Monday, Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association talks about how local infrastructure has been neglected and has since then been abused over the past decade.
In our local area, there's roads up that I know of, Irving, Witt, that direction, where the township has put a pile of rock at the access point of a road so they can't let anybody go down it because they're getting so bad with this thaw lately with the warm weather.
State law allows local highway commissioners, township road commissioners, county highway engineers, municipalities, allows those local units of government to do seasonal posting, in other words, seasonal weight restrictions on those roads. Anybody lives out in a rural road, you know exactly what I'm talking about. this time of the year, freeze-thaw cycle, it murders a road. I mean, it the oil and chip roads, they fall apart, you know. Even good paved roads, you look at them, you could tell that. And the problem is you get the moisture underneath it, and the moisture, you know, that water that seeps into the pavement freezes at night. During the day it thaws, so back and forth. All that's doing is pushing and tearing up against the pavement, turning it right back to gravel. And so the seasonal road postings, which can run from, you know, January to April, January 15th, April 15th, some areas are different. Farther northern Illinois, it's different. But, you know, those are the postings that we need to adhere to. I mean, anybody who lives on that road knows that. They don't want to tear the road up. And the problem is, you know, the school buses have to go down those roads, you know, some roads. And unfortunately, school buses put more pressure per square inch because of the way they're built than most other vehicles. But, you know, they've got to go down those roads. And so we're seeing, especially this year, because we've had some pretty drastic weather conditions this year, we're seeing a lot of those roads torn up, which just goes right back into the saying that got to make sure that enough of the transportation funding out of the infrastructure bill goes to the local roads. And, you know, it's one of those situations where I think they feel like, and I'm sure the township road commissioners and these guys feel like poor stepchildren, you know, because they had been left out of the last transportation plan. And, you know, these roads are farm to market. I mean, this is where you get the grain in, the livestock out, you get your inputs in. You got to have them. I mean, it's part of the Illinois economy, and we got to be able to support them. At least support the infrastructure and don't let them deteriorate anymore. Pavement's one thing, but the real problem we have are bridges. You know, these bridges already have weight restrictions on them. And, you know, the laundry list of bridges that need to have work on them is a mile long. This is another thing to think about. And really, we hope the legislators are thinking about it, because it's not all big flyover bridges over the interstate that are the problem. It's also those little bridges that are on the county and township roads. And you know, most of that is dictated by the counties or townships and municipalities. But they depend on funding for a good, you know, for a part of that and a good part of it.
I know of a few bridges in the local area and where I live that are, they've had weight restrictions, and here this last year they've docked that down even more. It used to be about 20 tons. Some bridges are now down to 15 or 10 tons. So it's definitely alive and well in this area.
Every week, Illinois Department of Transportation posts what they call their weekly restriction list. Weekly restriction lists list all the roads and bridges that either have lane restrictions or weight restrictions or bridges, the same thing. Every week there's new bridges on there and you know, new pavement where they're lowering the allowable weight on those roads. And every week, you know, there's more and more on there. I mean, things like culverts fall apart. All of a sudden, you know, a culvert or a bridge that can handle 80,000 is down onto 40,000. Or even worse, you get situations where some bridges are getting restricted and then, you know, they got to reroute a school bus because the school bus can't go over the bridge or the culvert. So yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's the nitty gritty. That's the best way to put it. When it starts affecting your lifestyle and affecting the way that you live and work, then it's definitely it's the hard reality that we got to deal with right now.
With these roads and everything too, even with seasonal weight restrictions and then a little bit past those seasonal weight restrictions, we'll have farmers jumping right into the field when it ever decides to dry out a little bit.
If it ever dries out. Now, you know, depending on where you're at in central Illinois, it may dry out quicker. You know, some sandier soil back, you know, farther west and northwest of here. It won't take too much for some of those guys, you know, depending on what happens with the flooding, you know, for some of those guys to get in. You know, I drove over the 270 bridge yesterday, and coming over from the airport, and that river's up pretty high, and some of that back area they're getting some flooding. So it's going to be a while in some areas before they get anywhere near able to get into that. But there are going to be people out there doing preparations. They're, you know, they're hauling stuff out to the fields and stuff, getting ready for it. So just, you know, it's always a friendly reminder to look out for that equipment. You know, it's going to be out there quick. It's going to be slow-moving trucks or what have you, and getting the tractors out there and all the equipment. You know, when they start tilling, it's going to be, it's going to be crazy because, you know, the clock starts ticking about right now. You know, people, you know, it's not uncommon in March, you know, middle of March to, if it's dry, you can get in there, but definitely not this year. I mean, there's a lot of standing water, and it's going to be a while. But when they do, it's going to be quite the chase. So you got to look out for that equipment that's going to be out there. And with the the time change and everything, you know, that means that they may be out there early. You may be out there early, and it's still dark, but they may be out there too. So just be careful. It's that time of the year.
Exactly. And too, last fall, a lot of inputs go on after harvest. Well, it was so wet right after harvest, during harvest for some, that a lot of those inputs didn't get put on last fall. So this season is especially going to be a fast-paced, urgent season. So
yeah, it's going to be quick because, as you said, kind of got shut out a lot of places last fall. A lot of stuff that could have been done last fall never got done. And it just compounds the amount of traffic on the roads. And, you know, it's not just on the, you know, you're going to see them on the, you know, state highways coming across. You're going to see them everywhere. And just be careful. Remember, they're slow-moving vehicles, and you come upon them real quick. You know, we've seen accidents in central Illinois in the last year or two that were caused by, you know, people not recognizing the slow-moving emblem. That there's been some fatalities, and so we'll watch that real carefully. And again, you know, the same thing when you're going down those local roads too. You know, it's the gravel now, they're torn up. I mean, you can lose control real quick. So please be careful.
And those narrow roads especially too, coming up over crests of hills and everything like that. We need to pay attention.
Yes, we do. It's that time of the year.
And again, that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President with the Midwest Truckers Association. For this Thursday morning, March 21st, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.